2 Thessalonians chapter 3, continuing the series through this letter. We'll be reading the first five verses of chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would make your presence known in our hearts, the same hearts that we have reflected on this morning that are often filled with things that are not like your love. Lord, we've asked for your transformative love, and we know, Lord, that that love comes to us through your word, and so we pray that your word might transform us by your love for us. So, Father, I pray that you would mold my words, that they would be yours, and that your spirit would empower them to each of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was a boy, I wanted to be a great piano player. My desire for that began when we were on vacation in Florida one year. And there was a talent show of sorts in the main building of the park that we were staying at down in Florida. And during the talent show, suddenly, a young man, maybe in his early 20s, he got up and he walked up onto stage, and there, after the curtains opened, there was this piano, and he sat down at this piano and he brought the house down. His hands were going back and forth across the keys so fast that you could hardly see him, and as they were going back and forth, he was bringing the most beautiful music out of that piano. And before he even finished the song, people were standing and cheering and yelling for him to play more. It was so beautiful. And as I saw that, and as I experienced the joy and the beauty of the music that he was able to bring out of that piano, I wanted to be able to do the same thing. I wanted to be able to pass that music along to others as he had passed that music on to me. And so I took piano lessons, two of them, if I remember correctly. You see, I wanted to be a great piano player. I wanted to be able to pass on the music that had been passed on to me, but I didn't really want to work very hard to do it. And when I found out that for me to pass that beauty on to someone else meant that I was going to have to persevere for years and years and years, it wasn't as important to me anymore. I fell in love with the idea of being a great piano player and being able to pass it on to someone else. But I didn't fall in love with the work that I was going to have to do in order to become that person and have that ability. And that's exactly what separated me from that young man in Florida. He had the perseverance. He must have had it. He must have practiced for years and years and years. He must have worked tirelessly to be able to pass that music on to others, to be able to play just those little black dots on that sheet of paper and make it come alive for other people who had not heard it before. Experiencing God's love is a lot like experiencing a great musical performance. Because when we experience the love of God, it brings us to our feet. When we experience the love of God shown to us in all of its beauty, before we can even take it all in, we just want to rise up on our feet and cheer and say, more, more. Give us more of it. It's so beautiful. To experience God's love is like experiencing a great musical performance. and it makes us want to pass it on to others. It makes us want to be able to share this beautiful love with others who have never heard it before, who have never experienced something that just might be ink on a page to them. We want to be able to take the beauty of what we've experienced and somehow pass it on to other people. And that's what John was talking about in the passage we read a little earlier when we were looking at God's call in our lives, the passage from 1 John 4. And I'd like to read just portions of that again and think back on it in this light. When he started out there in verse 7, he said, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Everyone who knows God, everyone who has experienced His love, suddenly has that desire to love others. When we see it in all of its beauty, we can't help but be driven to a desire to want to be able to pass it on. John says, anybody who's experienced God's love loves others. It's just that way. That's the way it works. But our desire to pass it on to others also requires us to perform it for them. John goes on, he says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And then listen to what he says here. He says, "No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us." That word for complete means it reaches its purpose. He says, no one has ever seen God, but they see His love in us. And as we perform the love of God, they're drawn to Him. Just as though I had never ever met Beethoven before in my life, but when that man down in Florida played his music for me, I had an appreciation for his greatness, and I wanted to be able to do the same thing. John says, no one has ever seen God, but if His love lives in us, then others see Him in us. When we experience the love of God, it makes us want to pass it on to others. We're captivated by it, and we want to pass it on. But wanting to pass it on means that we have to perform it. We have to live it. It has to become part of us in order for that to be done. And that's often when the struggle begins, because performing God's love for others requires a great deal of sacrifice. Performing God's love for others means that we will have to work very, very hard. It requires a great deal of dedication and perseverance. So being captivated by the love of God and wanting to pass it on to others means that we're also going to have and be committed to the perseverance of Christ. Without that, you see, we just can't pass it on. It can't get from us to them. Without Christ's perseverance, you know, God's love would have just been an idea. It would have just been a plan. It would have been a theory. But because of Christ's perseverance, He made God's love a reality in our lives. It was because He persevered that God's love became real to us. It was because He emptied Himself of His heavenly glory, and He humbled Himself. It was because He pressed on through being opposed at every turn by the religious leaders of His day. It was because He pressed on through being falsely accused. It was because He pressed on through being spit upon and beaten. It was because He pressed on through being ridiculed and mocked. It was because He pressed on when the soldiers were driving the nails through His hands and feet and lifting Him up into the sky. It was because He pressed on and persevered through all of that, that the love of God for us became more than an idea or more than a thought. It became real. and we saw it. We experienced it. His perseverance made it real. You can't become a concert pianist simply by wanting to. And you can't pass on the love of God to others simply by wanting to. It requires a lot of hard work. It requires a lot of perseverance. And so it would require that we press on through everything that would stand in our way, just as Christ did. That's the only way that God's love, this thing of beauty that we've experienced, that we have seen, that has brought us to our feet, that has called us or brought us to call to ask for more, just as we did when we confessed our sins a little while ago, more of your love. It's only through perseverance that we can bring that to others, that they too can experience that. And that's the tension within which Paul is writing to the Thessalonians here. The tension between his desire to pass on God's love to others, his being captivated by God's love, but also the knowledge that he has that his doing so is going to require a great deal of work. It's going to require a great deal of perseverance, because as he does that, he's going to be working against many things. So Paul asks the Thessalonians to pray for him. And he asks them to pray for two specific things. First of all, he asks in verse 1, he says, to pray that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. Now that word that is translated, be honored, is a word, doxazo, which we get the word doxology from it. It means a shout of praise or glory to God. And Paul asked them to pray that this reaction to his message might spread quickly. And so you get a picture of a great crowd of people, and in the way that an ovation starts in one place and moves across, that as Paul brings this message to others, that they would start to rise all across. And they'd all come to their feet with a doxology of praise. That's what he says, pray for that. That it might be honored and glorified, and that it might spread rapidly, just as it was with you. Just as it was with you. The same kind of excitement, the same kind of joy that you felt when you heard the message that I brought to you, and the way it brought you to your feet. Pray that God would do that as I bring that message to others as well. He wants people to be overcome by the love of God. But no sooner is this request out of his pen than he asks them to pray for something else too. And that is the protection that he will need to bring that message to others. In verse 2 he says, and pray that we might be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. Even as Christ's perseverance was necessary in order to bring the message of God's love into this world, into a world that didn't want to hear it, into a world that fought against him the whole way, Paul knows that he will be bringing the same message into much the same situation. That the people that he meets along the way will be working against him, because not everyone has faith. He knows that along the way he's going to be straining against evil, against all of the forces that don't want the message of God's love delivered. And so he prays not only that his message would be received with a doxology, with praise, but also that he might be protected from those who would be working against him. And that's exactly the way it had been for him in Thessalonica, in the very town that he's sending this letter to. The faith of his readers, you see, didn't come without a lot of cost to Paul. The faith of those who were reading this letter came only because he persevered through a lot of difficulty. In Acts 17, it recounts for us Paul and Silas's journey into Thessalonica. And it tells us about how they went to the synagogue and he discussed and argued, debated with them that Jesus was the Christ, and that many people did follow him, but many did not. And those who did not rounded up a mob, and they started a riot. And they went to the house of Jason, where Paul was staying, to try to find him. But by God's grace, Paul wasn't there. But they grabbed Jason and pulled him out and brought him into the mob out in the city. And it wasn't until nightfall that Paul and Silas had to sneak out of town so that they would not be captured. The love that these Thessalonians had experienced of God, the love of God that they had experienced, came to them because Paul persevered. And now Paul asks them to pray that he might be able to persevere as he goes on to share that message with others too. But in all this, Paul knows that he's not unique. And this is really important to hear and see. Paul realizes that in this need, he is not unique. That it's not just because he is an apostle that he finds himself in this tension between being captivated by God's love and having to have Christ's perseverance in order to do what needs to be done. Because the prayer that he asks for from the Thessalonians is basically the same prayer that he offers up for the Thessalonians. In verse 5, he prays, "May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. May he continue to lead you into God's love. May you be thoroughly and always and continually captivated by the love of God. May it always bring you to your feet, and may you always cry more. But may the Lord also direct your hearts into Christ's perseverance, because that is what it's going to mean for you. For all those who have been captivated by the love of God, who have experienced God's love and it has brought them to their feet, they, as John says in 1 John 4, must pass that on. And yet that's going to require Christ's perseverance for them too. In all the prayers that he gives and all the requests for prayer that he asks throughout this letter, he seems to draw a parallel between his needs and the needs of his readers. Between his needs and the Thessalonians' need. Between his needs and our needs. Each of us, at one time, was overcome by God's love. Each of us who calls himself or herself a Christian, at one time was overcome by the love of God. It brought you to your feet, or maybe perhaps to your knees, and you said, "More, more. I want more of that love." Each one of us experienced at one time the love of God, but we were brought to it because others made the sacrifices that would make it real in our lives. Someone along the way made the sacrifices. Who was it in your life? Was it a minister who had dedicated his life to that? Was it a parent who, no matter how long it took, continued to be on her knees in prayer for you? Was it a teacher? Who was it? It was someone. Each of us was brought to that experience of God's love because someone else who had that same experience also had the perseverance of Christ. And they sacrificed, and they worked in order that they might put themselves in a position where they might be able to pass it on to you. And they did. And that experience of love that we have experienced because of their sacrifice, if John is right, makes us desire to pass it on to others.
He who knows God loves as God loves. He who does not love, says John, does not know God.
And so it means that we pass it on, that we're driven to it, that we're so captivated by the beauty and overwhelmed by what it does to us that we want to pass it on to others. But for each of us, you see, that means sacrifice. And that means struggle. And that might even mean danger. It means toil. We face the struggle of bringing the message of God's love to people who oftentimes don't want to hear it. We risk that our desire to show others God's love, to point them to Christ, might mean that they would ostracize us, even as Christ was ostracized, even as Paul was ostracized and threatened. And yet that's where the experience of God's love sends us, doesn't it? And for that reason, because we're only different than Paul with regard to the extent of our ministry and not with regard to the purpose of our ministry or the essence of our ministry, we also need those same prayers. We need prayer as we face an office or a shop full of people who need God's love. We need God's prayers. We need others' prayers. We need their prayers that our message might receive a standing ovation. And also their prayers that as we go to bring that message, that we would be protected by all the forces that would stand against us. We need prayers. We face a family member who desperately needs to see God's love through Christ's perseverance. We need prayers. We attempt to reach out to the neighbor who desperately needs to see the love of God passed on through the perseverance of Christ. We need prayers. We continually face an audience of people. As we continually face an audience of people who need to be brought to their feet, they need to experience the beauty of God's love, but they need someone who can perform it for them. See, it wouldn't have done the same thing for me down in Florida if that young man had gotten up and made copies of that beautiful music and handed it out to all of us and said, "I just wanted to share this with you." It wouldn't have made any difference to me. But when, because of perseverance and work, he was able to put himself in the position that he could sit down at that piano and perform it for me, that's when I wanted to have it too. And so that's what it requires of us, that we would persevere in the midst of difficulty in order that others might experience it too. And so I'd like to ask you this morning to modify your prayers, or maybe add to your prayers that you've been praying for the person whom God gave you on the prayer card this month. Because we're all in need of these prayers. And I would ask that you would pray that the Lord would direct their hearts into the love of God and into the perseverance of Christ. Pray, first of all, that they would be continually overcome by God's love. Because when they are continually overcome by God's love, then all they want to do is pass it on. But also pray that they would be directed in Christ's perseverance. And that as they walk into the shop tomorrow morning, and the guys are using the same language they've used for years, and this person knows every day they've worked there that they should have said something, they could have done something, that they would do it. For the mother who is raising the children and finds that every day for her to try to train her children in the love of God and pass the love on to them means an incredible amount of perseverance, that she would have that perseverance.
and that she would work against whatever forces were working against her in order that she might be able to put herself in the position, pass on the love that she had experienced. For whoever it is that you're praying for, if you're praying for a little child, then pray that God might make them that kind of person. That as they grow, and as they go to Sunday school, and as they hear their mom and dad read Bible stories, that they would be captivated by the love of God, and that it would just bring them to their little feet. But that along the way, God might also give them the perseverance of Christ, so that as they grow, they might find themselves in the position to pass it along to others. And know that as you are praying for them by name, that others are praying for you by name. And they are praying for that same reality in your life. And so go into that office with God's love. Go into your child's bedroom with God's love. Wherever He sends you, to your neighbor's house or to your friend's house, go there with God's love and perform it for them so that they can be captivated by the same love that captivated you, and that they can come to their feet and cry for more. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you have shown us your love and the love of the Father in ways that fill us to overflowing, in ways that we can't even express. We pray, Father, that you would direct our hearts into God's love, that it might overwhelm us and form us, and also into your perseverance, so that we might take it into places that seem as though they don't want to hear it. We would take it to places where it means a great deal of work and a great deal of sacrifice. We pray, Father, that you would bless us in those ways, and that as we bring that message, many would stand up and receive that message with joy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.